The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Hey, what's going on, Busted Open Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Busted Open Podcast. Today, we got the return of the Hall of Fame and Pain with myself, Bully Ray, and my tag team partner for today, Mark Henry. And who better to be your tag team partner on Martin Luther King Jr. Day than the world's strongest man? And we are covering everything in the world of pro wrestling. Little WWE, little AEW, little NXT, little bit of everything, including some special guests helping us to celebrate this special day. So plug us in, turn us up to 11. It's the Busted Open Podcast happening right now. The man of the hour has just popped up on our screen, so I don't want him waiting too long. His chest fills out the entire screen. His shoulders touches the tip. We were talking about him 2 minutes ago. A multi-time, I believe 10-time record-breaking, record-shattering, 10-time tag team champion, obviously with the New Day and your current Intercontinental champion, and a damn handsome man. Big E, welcome to Busted Open. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. You're too kind, Bubba. I do appreciate that.
He is too kind.
Yeah, very much so. First and foremost, I don't want to be caught up in any Mark Henry beefs. I just want to make sure, like, I'm not here. I want to make, you know what I'm saying? I don't want any problems with anyone.
We're going to talk about the beef. We're going to talk about that this show.
Let's talk about it. Yes.
E, first of all, how you doing this morning? How's things? How's life right now for you in the world of WWE personally? How you handling everything?
It's a very, very strange time for me, for all of us, exactly. But, you know, I think the hardest thing is I've really been touched by the outpouring of love for Brody, for John Huber. He's a very, very good, dear friend of mine, and still kind of, you know, dealing with him not being here and his passing. He was such a regular part of my life. He lived like 15 to 20 minutes from me. And I got to see him all the time. And, you know, he's someone I've never, it's my first time losing someone who meant so much to me and who I was really close to. So the one thing that's been really rewarding is, man, you know, a lot of times I think we talk about wrestling being a family, and a lot of that can be cliche, but there is a real brotherhood. I feel a real brotherhood in that I had so many guys that I've worked with who hit me up, who cried with me, who reached out to me. And that's beautiful. Like, it really made me think, man, we have something special in our industry. Like, the fact, you know, when you know how it is, when you trust your body with someone else, you're in there. And there's just a certain level of connection. And I'll say that a lot of times in wrestling, we talk about it being a family. And, you know, a lot of times that's a cliche, but I felt a real sense of brotherhood. In that, you know, I had so many people who I'd worked with, who Brody worked with, who reached out to me and cried with me on the phone, on FaceTime, that real connection. So many of us just really came together. And that's, you know, I'm always trying to see the silver lining in bad things when tragic things happen. And I think that's beautiful. And you know how it is when you're in the ring with someone time and time again, and you trust your body with someone else, there's a certain level of connection and trust, and we travel the world together. And that's one of the things that I've really grown to appreciate is this real brotherhood in wrestling, in our industry, and that, you know, during hard times, we can come together.
Well, were you friends with John before you met up in the business? And, like, do you remember the first day that you ever met him?
No, so I remember him. I didn't know him at all until he got signed with WWE. So he was in FCW. I want to say maybe 2011, 2012. And I think my first memory of him was him coming in and working in this wife beater. And I remember thinking, like, I was kind of looking back. I'm thinking, man, I was in the wrong headspace, because I was a little jealous, because, like, at the time, everyone had to work in trunks or, you know, that was kind of how it was. I was like, they're never going to let him come in here working this wife beater. And people were putting him over. I was like, I don't know about this guy. But, man, he could go. He could definitely go. So, yeah, I didn't know him at all until he got signed. And then as I got to know him better, as we were on the road, as I got to meet his wife and kids, I really got close with him. And he was someone we legit, like, the last 3 or 4 years, we talked or texted pretty much every day, just about everything, because we realized we had so many interests that aligned with MMA, with music, just with everything. And he was such a great, insightful dude. Yeah, that too.
You know, you wearing a John Huber shirt. Is there a significance in the shirt that you're wearing?
Yeah, so this is actually Claudio Cesaro gave this to me. I think it's all the proceeds go to the Huber family. And yeah, it's cool to see so many of the tribute shirts that have gone to support his family. And yeah, so I think it's Violent Gentleman is the company. And yes, the proceeds go to the Huber family.
Big E, obviously today we are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The significance to you?
It's huge, man. And, you know, I think a lot of us don't really get to know much about Black history in schools. And that's really unfortunate. I didn't really get to learn more until I got to college. But remembering how much was sacrificed by people like MLK it means the world to so many of us. And the fact that, you know, if you think of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 wasn't that long ago. To think of the fact that
Mark was a teenager.
legit. But recognizing those sacrifices is very important. And I think his message is clearly very poignant when you look at 2020 and the amount of unrest there has been. Clearly his words, what he stood for, his life's work is still very necessary. It's still very poignant. And I think too often we think of history makers as people who are born great or who are outside of ourselves, and that's what they were destined to do. But I started thinking more and more that we need to be the change that we want to see in this world. And I'm not saying we can all be the next MLK, but we can do our part. And that's kind of what's been more of my focus as I've gotten older this last year or so, is doing my part, even if it's just the tiniest bit of just trying to carry that on.
You know, and Bully, I take what Big E has said, and I feel that way too, but a lot of people know Martin Luther King as the man about peace, and they think that the civil rights movement started with Dr. King, which it did not. But Dr. King was the one that said, look, we're going to have to make this peaceful. He was like Gandhi. They were like one and the same. Like, they talked about peace, and they talked about, we're all the same family. We just don't know each other. And people didn't look at, if I come in belligerent and angry, like, you're not going to want to have peace with me. You're not going to want to help me. But if you see that I'm intelligent, did you see that I have feelings? You see that I love my family and I play with my kids the same way that you do. Then you're going to be like, wow, that's a good man. I see him as another man. During that time, people did not look at us as people. They looked at us as property. And Dr. King was one that said, listen, let's show our intelligence. Let's show our class. Let's show the fact that we are people so that we get treated like it. And that was the thing that about Dr. King that really resonated with me. Now, today, as it relates to Ryback, I will not be peaceful. I won't be. I will not be peaceful. I always have to take it back to wrestling, Bully. I always got to take it back to wrestling.
Well, I saw some of the things that he said late last night, and I don't know how you're going to be able to keep it peaceful, but I don't want to take
Big E's time. Well, he blocked me, so I don't get to see any of it. I'm glad he blocked
me. Hey, Mark, should we try to rope Big E into this conversation? Should we put him on the spot?
Don't you do it.
He said, I don't want to talk about it.
Don't do it.
No, we'll get him into it if he wants to.
Let's talk about that nice, shiny championship that you have around your waist. How are you enjoying your time right now with the Intercontinental Championship? But how are you enjoying your time away from Xavier and away from Kofi? And is this... did this happen at a good time for you? Are you enjoying it? Do you hate it? Talk to us about it.
Do you miss them?
Well, it's a very weird way you phrase it. How are you enjoying your time away from those two? Like, but I see what you're saying.
Those man, anchors.
Stop it. Stop it. You see? You're your problem. Your trouble?
See?
Yeah.
I'm not the heel.
Not Bubba.
I'm now the baby face.
I should have known. Nah, man. So we obviously created something special. Like, I don't get to this point in my career. And in fact, I'd argue that I'm not even with WWE. I might not even be on the main roster if it wasn't for Woods and Kofi and the run that we got, because I was at a point in my career where I was definitely floundering. I will say, man, I feel like it's such a weird time. I'm so grateful that we're still able to work and to perform in the Thunderdome is the best possible scenario. But I feel like the true measure of title runs, I always think of the feedback from fans. That's what I think of. When I think of Brian's run, what he did in the 20 by 20 is incredible. But you think of people losing their mind. You think of the yes chants collectively. Same thing with Kofi's run. I think of that immediate feedback from fans. And as grateful as I am for this, you know, it's just not, I can't really sink my teeth into it in the same way. Like, because you know how it is. In our business, the fans are the barometer. They tell you immediately if something is good or if something is bad. So I can go out there all day and think, man, I'm killing it. But if I'm in front of 10,000 people and it's crickets, that what I'm doing doesn't mean much. So that's kind of the biggest adjustment, is really trying to determine, like, how well is this working? How much are people really behind me? Because it's one thing to go on Twitter, but as we all know, Twitter and that online feedback can be very different. When you go to Jackson, Mississippi,
oh, yeah,
they can be losing their minds and the Twitter crowd might not be feeling it, or vice versa, you know? And that's the beauty of what we do too, is that a town in Macon might be very different from Baltimore, which might be very different from New York as far as that crowd response is. So that's the biggest adjustment, is like, I feel like we got something good here. People are losing their minds every night. So it's a little bit different, but I'm incredibly grateful for this opportunity. I've enjoyed getting to do something different, to show a different side, because, man, it can be easy in this business to get stuck in a rut. Like, we got something good, and I'm not of the mindset, I don't want to coast. I don't want to think, man, I made it, I can just kind of phone it in. Because that, to me, like, once you're there, like, it's time to hang it up. And well, so that's the biggest
difference. I hate to break this news to you.
Break me.
But the people are loving you. They're really getting behind you. And you look at the ratings, like, during the segments that you're on screen, people are not turning the channel.
That's a good thing.
Break
that's
that to you right now. Like, you are captivating, and people want to see what you're doing. I want to see, like, where do you see this going next? I mean, like, you're battling, you're a fighting champion. You're battling everybody that comes to you. And right now, Apollo Crews feels like he should be you. Like, what are you going to do about that? And how do you combat somebody that feels like they're more deserving?
I mean, it's not the business of fairness. It's not, I think I'm deserving. I think Apollo is incredibly talented. I think he's a great athlete. I think his combination of skill and athleticism is off the charts. And he's a guy who should have been doing more for a long time. But man, I'm 8 years deep into this main roster run. I need to nerf Apollo is what I need to do. I need to run through Apollo. That's what I need to do. And like, that's not a shot at him at all. But my ceiling, my trajectory, where I need to be headed, is all up to Apollo. is well beyond Apollo. Like, I'm eyeing winning the Rumble, of headlining WrestleMania. That is what my trajectory needs to be. And if he doesn't feel that way, if like you gotta have that within you. I don't get, like, I'm not here to say, man, I think Apollo's incredible and he should beat me. And I think it's no, man. Like, I need to steamroll Apollo is what I need to do. I need to, we're on this road from here until what, April 11th? Is that the date for WrestleMania? From here until now, that needs to be my mindset, is running through Apollo, winning the Rumble. And that's how you make a statement. That's how you set your legacy in wrestling in WWE.
So one of the things that we talk about on the show, Big E, is me and Mark a lot of times will pull back the curtain just enough to bring fans in so we can all talk about wrestling in a more intelligent way. Not smart marks, but smart fans. You talk about your trajectory and how your goal is to headline WrestleMania. The politics of the business, the business of the business. Do you feel like you have a real, legit opportunity to headline WrestleMania this year, or is it going to take Big E another year to get there?
I mean, that's the thing, is I want this run to feel earned. I think there are a lot of people who've been clamoring for me to do more for a long time. But I think a lot of times what you'll see, and I'm not going to name names, but a lot of times you'll see talent who are called up or brought in, and they're almost given too much too soon. Not that they don't have the ability, but as a babyface especially, I don't feel like I'm with you if you've been on the main roster 2 weeks and you already got a world title shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, one of the best things that I think happened to Daniel Bryan is losing to Sheamus at WrestleMania in what? Under 20 seconds. Because people had enough. They had enough. Then they said, this guy has been grinding. He's been one of the best in the world for all these years. And this is how you're going to treat him time and time again. And that's what caused this explosion. I don't think he got vastly better. You know, I'm not saying that Bryan hasn't made steps to improve, but he was always that good. He was always the guy. And I think when it feels earned, like you've been through the ringer, not saying that I haven't earned it with all the tag stuff, but I'm still fairly new to the singles run. I want it to be like, all right, man, he's jumped through all your hoops. He's performed time and time again. I want to show that week in and week out, that I can do the solo backstages. I can do the solo promos and kill them. I can do the solo matches. That I can do every aspect of this business as a singles competitor. And all right, man, it's earned. But, I, you know, in the same vein, I'm not here to turn down any opportunity that comes my way either. But you also know how it is, man. They're going to go through a list of part-timers, the big names, the big money guys who work once a year, and they're going to go through that list. And if they can't get all those guys booked for that Roman spot for WrestleMania, then it's kind of like, now who do we look to?
Let
who
him
actually
in.
Works here on a weekly basis, who's actually been grinding, and now maybe we give them an opportunity. So you know
Let
how it
him
is.
In, E.
You know how
Let
it him is. In. But my goal is, hey, man, I always had this perspective of you get what you're given and you make the best of it. And that doesn't mean like, here's my promo and I say exactly what's on the page. No, it means I do my best to make this few minutes as good as I can. And sometimes it's like fighting for something that I really believe in and saying, I'm not saying this, I'm saying this instead, or saying this is what I believe this match needs to be. So that's always my perspective, is I'm going to take, you tell me the time, you tell me the segment, you tell me the direction, I'm going to give you the best I got. Maybe it won't be as good as it can be week in, week out, but I'm going to give you the best I can on that day.
Well, you said that you were not going to name names. I'm going to name names. The Rock, when we came in and we were in the car together every day, the crowd didn't like him. Rocky Sucks was real. It was real.
Right.
They felt like the company was giving him too much too fast.
Right.
And then you fast forward, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns was put in this place. He beat Undertaker, retired him. People were like, man, this is bullshit. Like, why would you do that? Too fast, too soon. But what happened? Both of those guys, through time, both of those guys, through effort and through being able to have longevity, and there you go. You didn't get that push where they just threw everything at you and you did the opposite way where you earned it, and now here you are. You're on the precipice of being one of those guys. That's got to feel good to you that you earned it and you got there, and now it's time. The time is here. The time is now. What's going to set Big E over that margin?
I mean, you know how it is.
Or do you want to keep it a secret and just show us at the Rumble? I don't know.
Well,
but about information. We need something.
I know, but you know how it is. I got no information. You know, I got nothing. I know what I'm going to be trying to do.
I know you don't know shit.
Yes, exactly.
But we never got to.
Yes, of course. You know, you both know the system in and out. I will say, for me, it's a matter of, I know a lot of people call for me to be more serious. I'm sure there are going to be times where, you know, I can't log roll down to the ring. It doesn't make, you know, so I'm going to have to tweak certain things. And I think I've already tweaked certain things. But my biggest thing is I want to be a one of one. Like, I know they're going to be guys taller than me, bigger than me, stronger than me, whatever, maybe better promos, whatnot. But I want whatever the package of me is, I feel like no one can replace me. No one can just be me. As good as Apollo is or Keith Lee or anyone else you want to point out, I don't feel, and that's not a shot at any of them. I feel like no one can do exactly what I do. And that's my biggest thing is I want, when you watch me, I want you to think, well, what is this fool going to do when it comes to like promos or backstages? Or when you see a match, like, why does a man his size move like that? Why does he hit like, you know what I mean? So I want to keep being different, keep being unique, keep being a one of one. I don't want, when you see me on screen, to think, okay, I've seen this before, I know what to expect. I think if I keep bringing that dynamic package and trying to be as entertaining as possible, that's going to carry me through. And that's been my perspective as of late.
You've changed me. I've changed, Bully. I really have, because I was one of those people that was screaming from the mountaintops, Big E needs to be more serious. He needs to change his gear. He needs to do this and do that. And now, when you don't do you, when you're not the Big E, then I go, I miss that.
Like, you see?
That dude grew on me. That dude, like, I see the seriousness when you get hit.
Right.
And you just change, man. You just turn into a different dude. I'm very excited about the Rumble. I'm very excited. I hope that you have all the successes that you want. Bully, I know I stepped on Bully right then, but I had to step on his toe because I had to get that out, because I feel like I would be doing a disservice because I was a critic. And I ain't the guy to hide shit behind nobody's face. I'm going to tell you how I feel. And later on in the show, the people that understand that right now I'm in this beef with Ryback, they're going to get to hear my side of what he said. And, you know, this is my way of trying to pull you into it. But I'm going to let Bully get his point across first.
Well, I don't have a point. We need to wrap up with Big E, and we thank him for his time. I'm the politically correct one on the show. Mark is the troublemaker. I'm the guy that tries to mind his P's and Q's. So I'll be the knight. I'm the baby face. I've been trying to tell everybody for years. Anyway, when the red light's on, it's a different story. Very happy for your success on a personal level. Always enjoyed working with you guys. You made my time back there so much fun. And also between you guys, the Wyatts and the Usos, me and Devon had a blast. So thank you very much. And continued success to you. And hopefully that WrestleMania main event is either in the near future or the far future, but it is in your future. Continue to knock them dead. You're very entertaining. You guys are great at what you do. God bless you, and thank you very much for coming on today.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Bubba. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Take care, my friend.
Hey, everyone. This is Nicole Auerbach, and I want to invite you inside the Coach's Clubhouse, a brand new podcast from SiriusXM that examines what drives coaches on and off the sidelines. We talk to coaches from all different sports and all walks of life about their passion for the profession, their mentors, philosophies, and stories, and also what they care about when they're outside the spotlight. We'll give you a unique perspective on some of the greats in their profession, from Olympic coaches to Super Bowl champions and everyone in between. New episodes out every Wednesday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
And I said, in my opinion, to my trained eye, who's been watching this for close to 30 years, I believe that the work rate inside of the ring with NXT is better than AEW. I think they are more polished.
Raw. Hey, you're right. I'm agreeing with you.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The work is more polished. The work is more believable. It's crisper. The psychology is better. Everybody, I'm not saying I like one wrestler or performer better than another performer. I'm saying that when I, if you take any two performers from NXT and any two performers from AEW, I'm seeing a crisp, cleaner, more realistic in-ring product. Do you agree or not?
I 100% agree. And you have your exceptions to the rule. You have your Drew McIntyre and anybody. You have your Sheamus and anybody. You have sometimes a Keith Lee and a
Jeff Hardy. I don't mean to forget about Raw, because that's not who I compared it to. I compared the in-ring work of NXT and AEW. So, yeah, okay, you got exceptions to the rule. But is it – I mean, to me, at times, it's – it's glaringly better. There are talents in AEW who look very, the word that I use is indie-rific.
Polished.
Indie-rific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm watching some indie guys. Now, I'm not saying they're the shits. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying the work in NXT is better. I see a lot of stuff in AEW that needs to be worked on in ring. They're going to get better. Hopefully the more reps you get underneath your belt. But I'm seeing stuff, I'm seeing spots that are so choreographed and so planned that it's beyond the realm of believability. I'm seeing moves.
Even when somebody gets kicked, like sometimes you see the pull. You can see the kick being pulled. Or something, and I don't want to pick nits with my nitpick comment, but you go back to a couple of weeks ago, Leon Ruff and Johnny Gargano had a match, and it looked like Owen Hart and Bret out there. They were working, they were doing things that I hadn't seen probably since the Bret and Owen match. It was polished as hell. And if you'd have put a little bells and whistles on that match, it could have been a pay-per-view match. It was really, really sound. And there's a reason for that. Can we get into the reason rather than the critical comment of, yes, the working matches are better on AEW than in a lot of places. And lately, in my opinion, this is my opinion, there's no fact behind it, as I'm going to actually state some facts in a little while when I start talking about Ryback. The facts about what we're talking about right now is, outside of SmackDown, and when you see a Jericho in the ring, you don't see that kind of polish. And NXT is by far, from beginning to end, the best show that expresses work rate, psychology, and every match does the when, the why, and the where, to put it in pro wrestling.
You know what, Mark? Your problem is you're just a WWE shill.
I'm a shill. I'm a mark.
Because there's no way in hell that you could come on this show and just give your straight
honest,
up honest opinion. You're a shill.
Yeah.
Vince told you to say this stuff this morning.
Yeah. Don't forget the, hey, Mark, don't forget to put that in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget to put NXT over it, the product that I think I have, but I'm really not sure about.
Yeah. Don't forget to put Chris Jericho over in his matches on another program. Don't forget to do that.
When people take the social media and they start talking crap, like whether it's to me or to you or to any other person who's been around for a long time and says, oh, you're a WWE shill for saying that NXT's work rate is better than AEW's work rate. No, I'm not a shill. I'm probably one of the most brutally honest people you'll ever meet in this industry. Probably so brutally honest to a fault and a detriment at times. But hey, that's me. And my mouth got me where I am today. And my mouth also got me where I am today. And I can tell you from looking at these products, which one is better. Go ahead, Mark.
We are, Bully, neither one of us has ever said a negative word toward AEW as it pertains to what is this sport called? It's been deemed sports entertainment. Mm-hmm. We have said that AEW was more entertaining than most wrestling shows, including NXT. There have been times, they have their times where they are more entertaining than NXT, then Raw, then SmackDown, Impact, New Japan, and the list goes on and on and on because MJF, Jericho, what they're doing with Moxley and what they're doing with Kenny Omega and what they're doing with the top end of their guys is effing entertaining. And so where is the hate, guys? Where is the hate?
There's not. It's people and fans who can't handle a truthful perspective. They, especially with like AEW fans, God forbid you try to say that something is a bit lackluster or something else is better, or you try to be critical. You know what? I can be critical. I've paid my dues.
You're not afraid of the hate.
I'm not afraid to be critical. And 9 times out of 10, Mark, I kind of know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Okay.
I stopped the argument. Well, I didn't stop the argument. I did what you just told Big E. I became the heel, and I threw gasoline on the fire. These two dudes were talking about LeBron James being the best basketball player ever and Michael Jordan being the best basketball player ever. And I told both of them, hey, y'all both got some really good points. Y'all got some good points. But I'm going to tell you right now, Magic Johnson was a better player than both of those guys because he made everybody around him better. I don't think James Worthy was great. But I don't think James Worthy would have been a top 50 if he played on the same team with Michael Jordan. I don't. Because why? Magic Johnson had 10,141 career assists. And I bet you 5,000 of them went to James Worthy. Sometimes the things that make you better and the things that make the world interesting is a conduit, something that's in between greatness and talent. And what do you do to bring them together? In pro wrestling, that is the most important thing in wrestling because you have to have a guy that can lead somebody that's the shits and make them somebody that's great one day. We've all had our moments. There was a day when, guys, I hate to say it, I was the shits.
Guys, but I hate to say it, I was the drizzling shits.
Dang, it sucks to say it. But I tell you what, I at the end, I was pretty fucking good. And even when I was working with people like Ryback, I could take a nap and be better than that motherfucker any day of the week. Holla at your boy. The best matches, WrestleMania, when supposedly some agent said it, yeah, okay, I believe that shit. I believe that. That I'm the shits. Oh, let me see. After you left, the guy you said, John Cena, you put John Cena out on Front Street, and I'm sure that
tagged him.
John
tagged
Cena him. Will probably make a statement about how when he first got into wrestling, who did he ride in the car with? Me. Who was the guy that went to the office and said, hey, man, y'all need to hear John Cena rap? The dude is talented. And they said, you know what? This is awesome. John was mad at me because he didn't want to be looked at as the rapper guy. But you got Thugonomics. You're welcome. Fuck you, Ryback. You trying to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about? That I'm not great? That I was the shits? You base it off and you throw it on an unnamed agent. Name his name. You name John Cena? Name the agent. I'll call him. I'll get him on the show. And I'll say, listen, I'm not saying that this happened, but at any point did you ever tell Ryback that I was the shits? And I was famous for taking naps. I take naps every day. There's nothing wrong with it. It's great. Vince McMahon himself has ribbed me, pouring water on me while I was sleeping. Because everybody would go, hey, is anybody got eyes on Mark Henry? Because he usually naps around this time. Find him. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun with my naps. Yo, yeah. And you go back, I challenge anybody. Go back and look at the match at WrestleMania with me and Ryback. See if you see any holes in it. I was a hole filler, even with people like you, who other people didn't want to work with. You talk about the work rate. You wanted to get your shit in and think that was getting over. You can post as many videos as you want of you giving me finishes. It's not the real thing. Until you walk up to me and punch me in my face, the world won't know how violent I can be. So when you feel froggy like that, you let me know what plane ticket, where I need to get a plane ticket to. I'll show up for that. Because even at 50 years old, I'm more man than most men will ever want to be in their dreams. And you start talking about cutting promo. I'm not cutting a promo. I'm saying this from my soul. I will tear your flesh off, bro. And that's a promise. I'm not threatening you. I'm just saying, as a reactionary thing, if you hit me, there will be hospital time. I'll make sure of it. And that's my response to Mr. Ryback, and I will never speak on it again. I won't, because it's a waste of my energy. I want to make this show, and this show should be more about peace, because it's Martin Luther King Day. I'm going to read something from Martin Luther King's, one of his famous quotes here in a little while. And I'm going to let it go. But I just wanted to take that time to answer what you said last night. And I'm so glad that you unfollowed me. So now I don't have to see these ridiculous commercials of you peddling bullshit to pay your bills. When you were so great, when you were so good, that you didn't hurt people. When you chop me in with them damn gloves on, I used to tell you every time, hey, man, you know you could take scissors and cut that metal bar out of the inside of those gloves, and maybe you won't hurt everybody. And maybe I should tell them how you used to sit in front of Vince's office and beg to change everything because that didn't make you look big and strong. When I never did it. Because I knew I could make chicken salad out of chicken shit. Biggest guy, strongest guy in the company. I lost to Rey Mysterio, the smallest guy in the company. Didn't complain, not one bit. Was an honor, was a privilege. I lost to a guy with one leg, Zach Gowen. Did I complain? Did I say, nah, we're changing this? Man, you need to get some business, man. You just got destroyed.
And on that, I think we'll take a break. Straight fire from Mark Henry.
Hey, everyone, this is former NFL linebacker and current SiriusXM NFL radio host Kirk Morrison, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, Total Coverage. Each week, I'll be joined by some of the greatest minds in the game as we explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results. Whether we're breaking down player techniques, game plans, or coaching philosophies, we'll explain the details that define our favorite performances. New episodes will be available every Tuesday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
I hear somebody. Can you hear me?
Mr. Wireless.
I hear you very well. What the heck is going on? I've been up since 7:30 waiting on this Zoom.
Well, we have a guy that we fired, and we tried to get rid of him, and he just keeps coming back.
He just keeps coming back.
Yeah, he comes to work anyway, and he ruins the show, like, probably about half the time.
He's like syphilis. He never really leaves.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. I'm here reporting live from Atlanta, Georgia, the home of Dr. King, where I'm born and raised also. So it's good to talk to you guys this morning.
Man, I'm so glad that you were able to come on and talk to us about Dr. King on this special day. I was messaging with you yesterday, and you sent me a photo, which I've actually sent to our guys, and they're going to post it on our SiriusXM page, of you at the funeral.
Yes, sir. I was so pleased. In 1968, I was a student at the University of Akron, Ohio. I keep saying Akron, Ohio, because you guys need to know that I am the father of LeBron James, so I just wanted to throw that in. Okay.
So you're his dad, you're my dad. Like, damn, you got around.
I got around. Papa was a Rolling Stone. But yes, what a special day this is to be in Atlanta. I'm here because of the pandemic, but Dr. King was so inspirational and such a great leader in Atlanta. My aunt lived across the street from him on Auburn Avenue, so we knew so much about him. We ate at the restaurant, Pascal's restaurant, where they met and strategized and organized and mobilized. They did everything on that, and which is now called Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Just to be able to, it was so important. That's why I had to leave college and put my whole family in the car and drive back to the funeral. And as you see that photo of me, I did not have that photo until 5 years ago. I was talking to friends about I was at the funeral, and I said I was across the street on a pole. I couldn't get on the telephone pole, but a pole next to the pole. And some friends had many photos, because you never think people are taking photos from inside the church out. It's always outside of the church in. And they got a shot of me. And as you can see, that's me. Do you know who those other people are in that photo, Mark?
No, tell me.
That's Nancy Wilson on the front.
Holy cow.
That's Eartha Kitt. That's Sammy Davis Jr.
Is that Sidney Poitier?
Sidney Poitier, Berry Gordy, and Marlon Brando getting out of the car.
That's unbelievable photo.
Those some heavy hitters right there.
Well, trust heavy me, but there was more other people in the church, of course, at the funeral. The church was loaded with heavy hitters, as you would say, entertainers and world leaders, presidents, everybody was there. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful day to rejoice. And we're still living standing on his shoulders, and he and others. I don't know why Atlanta is such a great center for leadership. You know, we had John Lewis, we had Dr. C.B. Vivian, we had Dr. Lowry. So much is going on in Atlanta.
My cousin, Andrew Young.
Andrew Young, of course, Reverend Young, who spoke at my church, the West Angeles Church of God in Christ, not too long ago. So
yeah,
So we're just so pleased to, I'm pleased to be an Atlantan, and so much growth this year. As you know, I think Atlanta is the Mecca, or whatever you want to call it, the melting pot. Black culture is built in Atlanta. I was just talking to Trevor Noah the other day, and he's from Africa, right? And I said to Trevor, you being from Africa, again, when you get off the airplane in Atlanta, I asked him to tell the truth. You've never seen that many black people in your life, have you? And he's from Africa. So, hey, Mark, Africans get off the airplane in Atlanta, and they go, holy shit. I've never seen the black. And the good thing about it is that it's a good melting pot, and we do pretty much own and run everything in Atlanta, and it's just so great. And the people are coming from everywhere. We love our city, and thanks to Dr. King's leadership. And now we have Dr. Warnock, who's the minister, who's Senator-elect Warnock. We've seen some changes, and we expect to see more changes, and just because of Dr. King's leadership.
Well, I tell you, can you tell us what you're doing right now and how we can see you and be entertained more by you?
I am doing so much, man. I mean, I've been in Atlanta since March 14th on the quarantine. I live on the 25th floor. My daughter drove by the other day to visit me, and I waved at her ass on the 25th floor. I told her, keep moving. I'm still
keep it moving. So tell me about Bull Twit.
Bull Twit is a new book that I have out now. You know, I wrote a book 2 years ago called Laugh It Off. The new book is called Bull Twit. Bull Twit, because I came as close as I could, because Bull Twit is about the Twitter world. And I was just voted and nominated the top 25 funniest tweeters in the world by Rolling Stone magazine. So these are online ramblings, that thoughts that come from my head. You know, I'm crazy in the head. So it's good to get these little thoughts out. It's a little, you know, it's just about growing up in Atlanta and how poor we were. And, you know, little things like we were so poor that even growing up in Atlanta, we could only, on the radio, we could only listen to the Pips. We never knew that was a Gladys night. You understand what I'm saying? That's how poor we were. We never knew that was a Gladys night. We could only listen to the film. And you keep going on. And little things like that. And, you know, we watch TV, and we could watch Sun. We never knew that was a Mr. Sampson, okay? We never knew that was a Mr. Sampson. So little online ramblings like that, little thoughts were coming out of my head, because I got to make a joke in 140 characters as opposed to telling a whole joke. Things like I'll straight up do, because I'm crazy, Mark. I don't play by the rules. You know, I'll eat cupcakes out of a pan, and I'll eat pancakes out of a cup. I don't care. I don't play by the rules. I don't care.
This guy's nuts, Mark.
Listen to me. You think I'm nuts. Let me tell you guys something. I will drink a half a glass of whole milk and a whole glass of half and half. I don't give a shit, okay? Now listen to me, Mark. I'm on stage one night in Atlanta. At the State Farm Arena. I told that joke. I'll drink a half a glass of whole milk and a whole glass of half and half. I don't give a shit. Some lady way in the back of the arena said, "Hey, Mr. Wallace, if you drink a half a glass of whole milk and a whole glass of half and half, you may not give a shit, but you're gonna take one." So, the responses that get back in the book. The book is called Bull Twit. You can go online and get the book. I'm already into the second printing, and the book has only been out 1 month. And the book is like 1995. You go to georgewallace.com, go online and get that book. People bought dozens for Christmas gifts, and it's a good table. What do you call it? The living room table book. Table book. Yeah, it's 1995. But if you buy 5 books, I will charge you $120 just for the hell of it. I got a hardcover that's $100. It's selling like crazy. It's great little ramblings of my mind. Like right now, here's one thing I always like to say to you and your crew there. I like to give a shout out to your favorite coat factory. Now, I don't know what yours is, but mine is Burlington. So little thoughts like Little thoughts like that pop out of my head. There's only one coat factory in the world, Burlington. Why aren't there other coat factories around the world? Just Burlington. And you want to know the truth? I've been in that store and I've never seen any coats.
No coats at Burlington Coat Factory.
The same thing as Cheesecake Factory. That's a lie. They're not making any. That's not a factory down at that cheesecake place. They sell cheesecake, but there ain't no factory. So little ramblings like that come out. Come out of my head.
And
you
on
got
that
me.
Note.
You got me. Well, I'm going to go get it today. I mean, I'm ordering it as soon as the show is over. I thank you so much for coming on. I wish we had more time. I'm happy to celebrate Dr. King Day with you, and hopefully
thank you so much.
We'll be able to talk more later on. But thank you so much for coming on.
Let's do that again, and let's do this again. And thank you for being my son. You represent so well, and God bless us. I love you. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't forget, that's georgewallace.net, georgewallace.com. Get that book, Bull Twit.
Plug again. Sell.
The thoughts of George Wallace. I've been doing comedy since 1843, so I know what I'm doing.
Man, so how was it hanging out with Jesus?
Don't you start. Your mama was complaining that when she was a kid, she didn't get Christmas gifts. We said, but Jesus wasn't born yet.
I'm not cracking wit with you no more. No more.
All right.
I'm not doing it.
Mr. Wallace, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We got to take a break over here. We appreciate you. You're a very funny man. We're going to get the book. Thank you so much. And have a great day.
And that's Dr. Wallace. Don't you feel better since you're talking to me? Have a good day, y'all.
Yes, see Dr. Wallace. Well, yes. Damn, Mark. That's your daddy?
God, that's my daddy, man. He the best. He is the absolute best. And anytime we were in Las Vegas, because he was Mr. Las Vegas, he did more shows in Las Vegas than anybody in history. And that's saying a lot. And he would always come to the arenas and when we had our shows there. And he said, man, and he is a huge guy. He's about 6'5", about
I remember him
pounds.
Now I remember him, yep.
And he would come and say, you know that I'm your daddy. Everybody that see you say, hey, man, is that Henry kid yours? And that's how he became dad, man. We kept in touch, and we still talk today. He's a beautiful person and a wealth of knowledge. And to come on Dr. Martin Luther King Day was special.
Ed, you want us to roll or take a break? What do you want us to do?
You know,
we
have someone else on the hotline here to contribute to the day's festivities. Why don't we go to him?
Let's bring All in right. our friend and member of Team Taz, Powerhouse Hobbs. Will, how are you? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Man,
we are good. We are good.
George Wallace.
I was listening to that. I was trying not to crack up too hard and wake up my child. But I wanted to come on and wish y'all a happy Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Man, I really appreciate that, man. I'm really proud of you and your success at AEW and how hard you're working. On this beautiful Dr. King Day, is there something about his teachings that touch you?
Well, there is. You know, my grandparents were big into Dr. Martin Luther King, so we had a lot of his pictures around the house growing up. Even when we went to church, we would have those fans in church with this picture on the back. And at a young age, I really never knew who he was until my grandparents sat me down. But the thing that touches me about him is just his willingness, his drive to make the world a better place. And, you know, I try to teach my kids those things. Usually every January in Oakland, we'll go to a Dr. King parade, but with the situation going on, we're not able to do that. So we're going to be spending the day watching A&E, watching some history on him. So just the way he wanted to change the world, that really touched me.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Like, I'd love to talk to you more. We're in and out, especially on our Zoom. We're having some difficulties, but we also want to thank you, man, for coming on and expressing your feelings about Dr. Martin Luther King. And keep working hard, man. Like, you're doing a great job. And
I appreciate every
time I see you do that finish, I know that you're paying homage, and I appreciate you, young man. I really do.
I got to, man. And I got the blessing from you to do it, so I got to do it right.
All right.
And I'm telling you right now, if you ever press slam Darby Allin through a table and he doesn't sell for you, you'll have me to answer to. All right. Powerhouse Hobbs, thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, buddy. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all.
Hey, everybody. This is Fran Freshella, host of the podcast World of Basketball. The game of basketball has truly become a global game.
Markovic buys it into Mickey, and somehow it goes in.
Each week, I talk with the players, coaches, and executives who have led the way in growing the game of basketball around the world.
Real Madrid have stolen victory from the jaws of defeat.
Episodes are available every Thursday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
Kobe Kingston. Kobe, how are you today, my friend?
Yo, Bubba, what's up, man? How are you?
Very good, very good. Thanks for joining us, Kobe. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure's all mine, you know? All good.
Man, Kobe, you know, on this beautiful Dr. King Day, you know, we celebrate it, and everybody has different reasons for why it is that he was important. And we just had Jay Lethal on, and I mean, we've had a myriad of athletes and wrestlers that came on. What about Dr. King's messages and his existence touch you?
You know, it's funny that you asked that, because right now, like I said, I didn't think I was going to be able to come on, because I found out my son had a basketball camp that was at the exact hours of the show. But, you know, I happened to get a few minutes, and my wife is in there with him now. And we talk about Dr. King and what he meant and his message. And I had to look no further than this basketball camp, you know. There's kids of all ages, all races, you know, biracial kids out there just playing basketball, coached biracial coaches, you know what I mean? Just a multitude of ethnicities all in this room together just trying to get better. And it happens to be at the game of basketball, but nobody was thinking about, you know what I mean, like just any kind of animosity or any differences. Everybody in the room, in the whole, you know, in the whole gym, just coming together for a common goal. And I think that is obviously at the base of what Dr. King wanted, right? You know, when he talked about little black boys and little black girls just coming together, this is exactly it, you know? So just to be able to have moments like this where you don't have to think about somebody's ethnicity, and you're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it's almost mind-blowing that there was a state in time where this could not happen. You know what I mean? Like, people of different races, if you were black, you were not able to go and be in the same room as a white person. It's mind-blowing. But then you think about it, it's like it wasn't that long ago either, right? So right. I think a lot of times we almost, not that we take it for granted, but we forget how segregated and how divisive life used to be. And there's obviously a lot of problems now that still need fixing. We're not there yet, but we still got a long way to go. But we have also come such a long way. And I'm just so grateful that that we live in a time where I can take my kids anywhere that I want to and have them in a room full of other kids from other different backgrounds. And we can all work together just to get better, to have fun, to be together and you know, have conversation together and laugh and have good times and share memories and make memories. And none of that would have been possible if it wasn't for people like Dr. King fighting for exactly this. So, yeah, man, I'm just reflecting on that. I was just sitting there watching them play, and I'm just, you know, just a big old smile on my face that that we had people like Dr. King, you know, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, so many other people who fought so hard, so many people who laid their lives down so that we could be doing exactly this. So I think that is what I am most grateful for. And, you know, I try to pay it forward myself. You know what I mean? And in the world of what we do, we all know that it's entertainment, you know, that things are storyline driven, et cetera. But there's an element of it being so real in the way that we are able to affect people. And I see that and feel that every day when people tell me about the impact that me winning the WWE Championship had on their lives and the emotions that they felt and the just the, you know, the drive that it's given them to go out and believe that they can go out and do anything. That, to me, is the ultimate goal, to keep on paying it forward. Because, like I said, we got a long way to go. And, you know, but while we're on this earth, we just got to do our part in trying to get to that promised land, you know, and trying to make everything the way that it should be. So long-winded answer for you there. But, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I'm in a zen mode.
Hey, we'll
right
take now. It.
I'm enjoying everything.
We'll take it. You're Kofi Kingston. You're a champion. You're inspiration.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.